We're talking today with Josh Bishong, Extension Canola Specialist at Oklahoma State University. Josh, 2014 is in the books. We've kind of put our crop to rest. We've gotten the combines in and out. Not a good year as far as canola production, but it was very consistent with what we saw with a very poor wheat crop here in Oklahoma, the Southern Plains as well.
Unfortunately, yes. It's definitely not been our best year. We've grown the crop for 10 years now. Every producer I've talked to said this has been the worst year by far. A lot of guys were drought-stricken the whole season. Some guys had some decent rain at planting time. We had crusting issues. Some guys had to replant. But for the most part, we had some decent stands going into winter. A lot of guys were extremely dry, especially in their subsoils. So dry soils compounded by those early October freezes. Anything in general that was planted in October, we lost a significant stand out of it. Some fields we completely had to zero out just because we didn't have a stand, and some we had to take it all the way to middle of March to see what we had at green up. But for the most part, we had some thinner stands. We saw some varietal differences this year with the harsh freeze, with the dry soils, definitely some different winter hardiness levels in some different varieties. Some outperformed some others. But for the most part, there's quite a few things the producer could have done to limit his risk. But unfortunately, we don't know when those freezes are going to come. We don't know we're going to get rain. So it's really hard to spread our risk when we don't know what exactly is coming. So the guys that planted early got a good stand, got decent desired size to it, 4 to 6 leaves, a decent taproot under it. So when we did go dormant, that plant was able to survive off those carbohydrates and that taproot. The guys that planted in October or had to replant because of some heavy rains and soil crusting, a lot of those October stands weren't where we wanted to see them. But some marginal stands, 0 to 1 plant per square foot. So some guys had to plant maybe one per step, and my steps obviously are pretty big, but some of those stands even made a decent crop, 10 to 15 bushels in a very drought year like we saw this past year. Thinner stands outperform sometimes if we have a heavy stand, less plants per acre, more water per plant. But obviously we get to that point where the plant has to overcome that spatial difference between the plants. And just like on row spacing on our planting equipment, there becomes a threshold where we start to see a decrease in yield. Say for instance, going from 15-inch rows to 30-inch rows, the yield potential is slightly cut back a little bit, but definitely still worth the crop going after. For the most part, one of the pluses of this year, we really didn't have any insect pressures. We did see some aphids, some diamondback moth larvae. For the most part, low-level populations, some sprayed, some didn't. A lot of guys that sprayed in the fall were able to retain more stand. So we did see some of those diamondback moth larvae and the army cutworm thin out some stands more than normal. But for the most part, we didn't have too many aphids throughout the year. One thing, as we got closer to harvest, we did see some harlequin bugs. Those probably caused a little bit more damage than we anticipated. Usually not as heavy pressure as we usually see, but like I said, without any of those other insects, the whole year has been different. Obviously, we saw different levels of different insects out there, and this year was one for harlequin bug, I guess. So, but for the most part, water was the main underlying issue throughout the whole year, either too much or not enough, or all at the end. Like for some, caused some big headaches at harvest. A lot of guys, the crop was producing what it could during April. We had that April 15th freeze, set the crop back a little bit, dropped some blooms. We had quite a few reseams. Depending on how cold it got and how long it stayed under freezing, how many hours, we might have lost a few blooms out of that reseam. Some reseams, majority of the pods didn't set because we lost all those flowers. So we saw a big range on how those freeze events in mid-April really hurt the crop. But for most part, we had a decent first crop if we had a decent moisture. But for the most part, all these rains going into June, that plant knew it can do a lot better and have an indeterminate growth habit, set on a lot more leaves. For the most part, it never dropped its leaves. And having marginal stands out there, those leaves on the bottom of the plant were retained. If we have a thick stand, usually once we get to pod set, those lower leaves drop off because those pods are doing the photosynthesizing. But if we have a thin stand, marginal stands, plants retain those lower leaves. And then when we got this late moisture, it just started growing like crazy again. So some guys that had a decent first crop, say 10 to 20 bushels, they were still going after that first crop. Some of the guys that had 5 to 10 bushel crop on that first crop waited to see what that second crop did. Some guys were able to swath that crop down, that first crop, and before they can get it picked up, that plant started to grow through those windrows. So that caused us some issues. The pickup reel taking in that green leaves and those green stems into the combine, spiking the seed moisture. We saw desiccants really do pretty good this year. For the most part, they weren't economically feasible. But for some guys that were trying to harvest a disaster, it was the best scenario. If they had sprayed at the full rate, used a surfactant, and sprayed at the high spray volume, you usually got pretty good knockdown on the canola crop. It dried out pretty quick, and we're able to get that crop out. For the most part, that second crop really didn't amount to much. A lot of seed shrinkage because that second crop was getting into some of these warmer days. Mm-hmm. We did have a week in there where we did get mid-90s and upper 90s, so that really limited our seed set out of those pods. Even though it did try to set decent pods, the seed quality just wasn't there. So we had small shriveled seed, low oil content. Some producers were discounted pretty severely at the elevator because of oil content as well as sprouting and green seeds. So we had a lot of issues at harvest. For the most part, there wasn't much we could have done different. Like I said, some methods were trying to harvest a disaster using the desiccant. The diquat wasn't really cost efficient, but it we're able to get the crop out of the ground a little bit better. Swathing, if we didn't have too much regrowth or we waited for that second crop, still did its job if we can get in there. Some guys couldn't get to their first crop before some of those early rains, and so by the time they went out there to try to swath it, that first crop was a little too late. So we had issues from all different directions, just depending on where in the state you were. But for the most part, there weren't too many smooth harvests out there. But as we talked about earlier, a lot of these canola producers don't really blame the crop. They know the weather conditions really had a major effect on it. And a lot of their wheat crops showed similar results, kind of comparable yields. We had some producers that their canola outperformed their wheat, but I would say a slight majority would have the opposite, where their wheat did slightly better than their canola. We just all kinds of different factors out there really got us where we were at harvest and having a subpar harvest for the state.
I would think that there was a lot of frustration among a lot of particularly, you know, maybe first, second, third-year growers of canola with the harvest problems.
Obviously, the first-time growers or second- or third-year growers that haven't really seen nothing like this definitely were scratching their heads, beating their heads against the wall. But even some of our guys that's been growing it 6, 7, 8, 9 years really haven't seen these issues pop up. So we had some guys that didn't know what to do. We're taking our best guesstimate on what the best outcome would be, what the best option or management practice should be. But like I said, it was hard for almost all of them, but all of them kind of understood. And some were really pleased with what they got. Like I said, we had some yields 20 to 45 bushel. That's about where their wheat was, and they were satisfied with that. The price of canola was fair during harvest, as long as we didn't have too many seed quality issues like the oil content or the sprout damage or green seed content or anything like that.
So you know, one thing that as we get ready to come into the new planting season this fall, that's different, that's a positive, is the fact that we do have more counties that are now eligible for just writing a regular crop insurance policy instead of having to go through the labor of a written agreement. That has to be a positive in trying to get a few more acres this fall.
It's definitely going to help us out quite a bit. Insurance is a big factor for a lot of producers in Oklahoma. Canola being a higher risk crop than wheat, we really need that assurance to have that insurance. A lot of producers that don't get insurance won't grow it. I would say probably a slighter percentage of our producers insure their canola versus insuring their wheat. It is a big factor that directly relates to what kind of acres we have. So having five more program counties added this year, 50% increase in what we had. We had 10, now we have 15. That's really going to be beneficial for a lot of producers that's been wanting to grow it, that's had issues with written agreements. They might have been rejected for certain issues, but if you're in a program county, that's going to help out a lot.
Well, let's talk about the canola conferences. You've got a couple of events planned, one in Enid and then one in Altus. And this, again, brings together both experienced and inexperienced folks interested in canola.
Yes, I'm very excited about the conferences this year. 10th annual Winter Canola Conferences. Like you said, July 29th, we're going to be in Enid, Oklahoma, downtown at the Enid Convention Hall. It's going to be majority of the day, starting about 8:30, going to about 2:30, supplying breakfast and lunch and refreshments, all free of charge. Anyone that wants to come, please join us. We have more information at the OSU Canola website, canola.okstate.edu. So if you're thinking about growing canola, if you're a new grower or experienced grower, there's going to be something there for them to learn from. Obviously, we learned a lot from this past year. We have experts from OSU, Kansas State, some regional experts. We got market outlooks, weather and climate outlooks. We have production agronomy. We have pest management. We have weed control and management, disease management, and insect management. So we got a pretty good lineup. We have a lot of topics to go over. There's going to be plenty of sponsors there for producers to contact with. A lot of the industry that's been built on this canola has definitely been beneficial for a lot of the producers as well as the industry. So the industry is there to help the producers, and the producers there with questions. There's going to be plenty of people to answer those questions. Okay.